WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here today. We're tuning in today to God's frequency. We're going to hear a word from Him today because we're going to where He speaks. He's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you, and He's got one for you now. And that, His word for you today, is that you have access to God. And the access is through His Son. That's what we're going to be looking at here. We're going back to a few sermons ago here. We've been in the book of Ephesians at church, and that's where we're going to go right now. Our access. Ephesians chapter 2. Prior to getting started, I want to invite you out to church tonight. We are meeting at the 6 o'clock. We have a fantabulous study planned for tonight. I encourage you to come by if you're able to. If you're tuned in the afternoon at 5:30, you got 28 minutes to point that car towards 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church. We're in Luke chapter 18, and we have some fantastic things we're going to look at. It's going to be an awesome study. You are invited. If you can't make it personally, then you can watch us on Facebook as well by going to Island Community Church on Facebook. That'll be live on there. You can follow along, watch from there. You can ask questions from there. And so I encourage you, stay in the Word of God, and love to see you here tonight at 6 o'clock. So, okay. This is a 29 minutes long sermon, so it's only going to play one day here on this Wednesday. We'll be back again with a new program here on Thursday. But here this morning, let's get into this now and into this message, our access to God. Okay, there we go. Everyone has one of these. Just raise your hand real quick if you need one. Anybody in the house? Okay. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. We're continuing our series here through this book. It's been a great study, hasn't it? Once again, we see the importance and the significance of the blood. We left off in a flurry of truths last week and the week before, including who we were BC, before Christ, and our condition back then, and who we are now. We've gone from sons of disobedience, children of wrath, and then out of nowhere, we run into the mercy and the grace of God. Starts with a word, and it's a phrase you'll find many times in the Bible, and that phrase is two words: but God. Probably my two favorite words. But God, or else the adverb suddenly. When you thought you were about to drown, suddenly. But God. Here in this text, it says then, who is rich in mercy and on account of His great love. Now let's pick it up here in verse 8 once again. And let's pray before we get started. Lord, without you giving us the wisdom and insight, I can't preach it, and these people can't understand it. None of us can. Lord, we pray you give me the strength and the insight and the wisdom to preach it, and that you'll bless everyone here with ears, and everyone listening in or listening in later, with ears to hear. Help us all to understand and hear your word so that we can do it.
We worship you through keeping your commands and keeping and doing your word. Help us to hear it now today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You know, it's a funny thing, this phrase, "and that." They really don't know what part of the sentence the "and that" is referring to. Number one, it could be referring to your salvation. That is, for by grace you have been saved. And that is the act of you being saved, your salvation. And that is the gift of God. Or it could refer to your faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Meaning your faith isn't even your own. Even your faith is not your own. You have faith because God's given it to you as a gift. You doubt me? Look around this world and you'll see 7 billion people that don't have what you have. And that ought to make you want to come in here with me every Sunday morning and shout for joy. Have you ever seen anyone out here in the world that didn't have faith? Boy, it's an ugly sight, isn't it? You see it in the Bible. I mean, Jesus went and healed. He raised up someone dead for 4 days. And only a small portion of the people believed. The others went to the local branch of the ACLU and ratted him out. How dare he raise this man from the dead? Wednesday nights, we look at people that he healed, and they say, "There are 6 days in the week. Come in one of those days to be healed." You're upset that Jesus healed someone on a Saturday? You've missed it. And you don't have faith. You don't have the gift of faith. Not only that, you've got the Son of God right in front of you, raising someone from the dead, and you rat him out to the ACLU? You call him a nuisance? What nerve of this guy to do good to someone on a Saturday? That's what it looks like. Faith is a gift. You having even the ability to believe in Jesus Christ, it's a gift. So, which one of these is right? The answer, both are true. Now, verse 9 is certainly talking about your salvation. Let me read verse 8 again. We're not in a big hurry this morning, are we? We just started, right? We got all day, that's right. It's like one of them old Pentecostal services, right? We'll break at 3 o'clock for lunch. You know, I don't think there'd be a whole bunch of people here wouldn't be all that upset about that. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works. This is why I think he's talking about faith. Salvation. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, you are not saved because of your works. You have been saved by grace, meaning it is a gift and it's not earned. You can't earn it. It's a gift and it's given to you by grace. That is, you haven't earned it. You don't have it coming to you, and you don't deserve it. And all that through faith. So really, both of them are the gift of God, right, Darren? Your salvation certainly is a gift, and your faith is a gift. If it was of works, then only rich people could afford it. And that's not the case here. The Bible says, "As many as the Lord our God will call." All right, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Okay? Notice the reason why he saved you and why he shed his grace on thee. I can still sing that, can I? What? Huh? It still is, isn't it, today? I pray we never give that up. Look at the reason why he did what he did to you. Look at why. It says, for good works, God shed his grace on thee, enabling you to turn this evil, crooked world right side up. As much as we can. God saved you in Christ Jesus for good works, so that you guys would go and do good works. Which, by the way, you guys and gals here are pretty darn good at in this church. Excelling, as a matter of fact. You guys here, this church excels at good works. Another reason why there's 61 people here today. Because you people excel at good works. And that pleases God. He takes great joy and satisfaction when we do what we were created for. Good works. Verse 11. And again, you do make a difference here. Each and every one of you. Verse 11, it says, therefore, remember. All right, that is, after all that God's done for you, remember. Remember your former standing. Remember, child of wrath, one of the sons of disobedience, your former standing. So he says, therefore, remember that you, once a Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand. All that is just an insult and hated by Jews. He's saying your former standing is you were hated by a Jew. That's like calling someone a dog. That at that time, you were a Christos, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and atheists in the world. Right here is the only time in the Bible that the word atheist is used. Look at all these strikes against you, BC. You're an atheist. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You're hopeless. And you're an atheist. Hey, put that in twice. Not to mention you're dead. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead. That's your condition, BC. It doesn't mean, back to the word atheist, it doesn't mean someone who refuses to believe in God. It means someone who is without God. An atheist means someone who is without God. So all the self-proclaimed atheists out there are actually not atheists at all. While the millions upon millions of people, many of them self-proclaimed Christians, they're the true atheists. What a paradox that is. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the true atheist without God. If you are without God, you are what the Bible calls an atheist. Imagine wearing that like some kind of badge of honor, right? What are you, son? Well, I'm an atheist without God. Or the proverbial t-shirt, I'm with stupid, with a finger pointing up at your face. Would you wear a shirt like that? You see, if you knew what certain things mean, you wouldn't do them. And you wouldn't call yourself that. Like agnostic. Gnosis means knowledge. A means you don't have any. Put it together, what do you got? You got the shirt with the finger pointing up. Hi, I'm Bob. Oh, hi, I'm stupid. Sorry to mess up my hair. Would you call yourself stupid if you knew what it meant? No, it just means you're without God. That's all that it means. You come into my office for 20 minutes, you won't be an agnostic when you leave. You'll be here Sunday morning rejoicing too. Or you're someone that doesn't have the gift of faith. And I have other words I'll call you then. Jesus will call you. Okay. Let me say this. If you are without God and proud of it, you've been deceived. Back again on my emails. If you have sent me an email and I respond to it, it's got this signature on there. If you're offended that God loves you, then you've been deceived by someone that hates you. If you're offended that God loves you, you've been deceived by someone that hates you. God loves you. What would Bugs Bunny say to that? What's all the hubbub, bub? What are you mad at? God loves you and you're mad? Someone's deceived you into thinking that. Now, once again, we see our pitiful condition has been atoned for by God himself. Verse 13, once again, starts with the word but. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Once again, this is 3 weeks in a row now we've been looking at this. Look at what the blood has done. Now, starting in verse 14, we're going to see the word peace used four times in these verses. It says, for he himself is our peace. That's verse 14. For he himself is our peace. You see, it's not your health that's your peace. It's not your savings account, your bank account, your nest egg. It's not your family. Jesus is your peace. Jesus and Jesus alone is where your peace comes from. You can lose everything else except for your peace. Peace I give to you, he says. Not as the world gives. You see, they can't tax it. Nancy and Joe can't take it from you. You can give it up yourself. For he himself is our peace. This is verse 14. Who has made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of separation. Me and my wife like to watch HGTV. And they always buy some old house, and what's the first thing they do? They break down the middle wall. Because them old houses, it's like one of them things you throw cheese and a mouse in. Boop, 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 boop. Walls everywhere. Jesus says he tore down these walls. Except for the walls you can't tear down. He tore it. He is the wall. Hallelujah. He's the wall you can't tear down. He is the stress wall. He is the load-bearing wall that no one can tear down. And if you tear that down, like a house of cards, baby, there it goes. Whoosh, down to the ground. It's like a house built on the sand, Jesus said. When the floods and the wind came, down goes your house. See, this is what he's done here. He himself is our peace, who has made both, that's Jew and Gentile. Finally, someone's going to unite us together instead of separating us. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So what we're witnessing here, again, is the joining together of the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is where it's joined together. Jesus broke down the wall of separation between the old and the new, and he's made both one. Right here is where we find that. Right here is where we learn that. This is how Jesus tied us, or better yet, joined us all together. Broke down the middle wall of separation. And notice what the Son of God has done to the Old Testament law. Look what he did to the law. That is keeping rules to be right with God. The law, thou shalt not or else. It says he abolished in his flesh the enmity or separation between us and a holy God. He abolished in his flesh the law of commandments. Gasp. Are you telling me that I'm no longer under the Old Testament law? No. The Bible's telling you you're no longer under the Old Testament law. Don't worry, Darren. I haven't lost it yet. He's getting ready to go on, hire a new pastor. No, uh-uh. The Bible's telling, listen to this, Romans 6:14. For sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What a key verse. And you heard it correctly. He's talking about the Old Testament law here. Verse 15 is saying here that Jesus, in his flesh, abolished the enmity, that is the death and destruction and separation that the Old Testament law created for breaking that law. Now, here's a great note from my Bible knowledge commentary. Think about this first verse here. It says, this commentary said, Jesus rendered the law inoperative in believers' lives. Jews and Gentiles were enemies because the former sought to keep the law with its commandments and regulations, whereas Gentiles were unconcerned about them. This difference was like a barrier between them. But now that the law is inoperative, Jewish-Gentile hostility is gone. You understand what he's saying? The Old Testament law is inoperative over you today. And here's why. Romans 10:4, write it down. Don't ever forget it. It's the most hated verse by the Jews for Jesus bunch. They probably cut it out of their Bible. Romans 10:4 says this. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The law is like a taxi, and it dead ends at the cross. And it drops you off. And you have a decision to make at the foot of the cross. What are you going to do? The law was designed to show you that you cannot make it on your own and you need help. And it convicts you as a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. All you got to do is receive him today. He's done all the work. Christ is the end of the law. Get it? Law for righteousness. Law for righteousness. That means trying to do good things to get right with God. Helping a little old lady across the street. Trying to do good things. That's not going to make you right with God because you have a problem. You've got sin. And good works can't wipe away your sins. But you no longer have to follow rules to be right with God. You are now right with God because of Christ and what he did. 1 Timothy 2:5. These aren't on your handout. Let me give them to you. 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, there is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. And this, 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not counting their sins against them. Okay, back again to what Jesus did. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Jesus made peace with God possible for you by taking this penalty upon himself. He died. This is what the substitutionary death of Christ. He died in your place. Because someone's got to pay the price for your sins. And the good news is, he did it for you. He did it for us. Again, thus making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Wow. Putting to death. Putting to death what God had against you. Sins. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Again, those afar off were the Gentiles, originally not part of the covenant people of God. And those who were near, the Jewish people. Those who Jesus came to earth for primarily. Remember, that's what he said. He said, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15, 24. Okay, next verse, verse 18. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. One of my favorite verses. Jesus has in his hands a ticket, kind of like a movie ticket. And that ticket says on it, it says, admit one. Romans 5, 2, it says, speaking of Jesus, through whom we have access by faith in this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, Jesus is handing out invites to this kingdom of heaven. And he himself is the access. He is the access point. He is the way. There's only one way to get in, and the access is through him. Through whom we have access. You have access to God and to the kingdom of heaven today through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way in. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Mark Vollmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.